we're on to item five, which is the governance compliance statement, and we've got paper C to look at. That, you're going to take us through that.
Yes, yeah, so paper C was the last most published version, which was included in last year's financial statements for the board. I did send round on sometime 16th of April, an updated version that has my proposals and comments and thoughts on where we think things should be changing. And I think I also sent round an extract of the... I've lost it. That's the one. The annual report and accounts guidance that says these are the things that should be in the governance section, which forms part of this little booklet, which I will be sending round to you at some point, because there's a new requirement, I think it's a new requirement this year, that the board looks at the pension fund's annual report before it's published. And there's a little checklist in the back of this that says shoulds, musts and coulds, should, musts and may, and then it's a case of have we done all of these? And we will, Joe and I have in the past, there's been a checklist like this that we have gone through to make sure that we have got the right stuff in there. But it's been an internal document rather than sort of scrutinised by anybody other than us and the external auditors. But there's now a statement in here that says that the scheme advisory board is recommending that pension boards look at the compliance with the requirements before the accounts are published. So at some point in our meeting schedule, we need to do a bit of training on this and then give you the annual report and accounts, all 150 pages of it, and you can go through this checklist and go, yes, that's there, that's there, that's there. Because you've got nothing else to do with your time.
Guaranteed to cure any form of insomnia.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've had a chance to look at what I sent through... And I mean, I'm not necessarily expecting you to have read it and agree with everything that I've put in there, but rather than starting completely afresh today with a blank sheet of paper, I thought I'd make a start on this. And I think the key points really are around, there's a statement on the first page under E2, which says all pension board members have a personalised training plan that is in place and regularly monitored and regularly updated. And this is where we had that big 54 tick list spreadsheet that Paul started.
That was
his... Sipler, Barnett, Waddingham. Yeah. Yes. 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 And so... we haven't had a meeting since October, but we haven't really looked at training and we haven't reported on training and development. And
no, is that something that we could each look at, do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe we should get them again.
Okay,
we can
do
that. A good
discussion on them rather than just
looking
at the
presentation. Yeah. Should we have one of our informal sort of meetings? If we arrange something outside this meeting.
Because then if you move on a couple of pages, I think onto page four of the current one, there's a whole section under P1 of knowledge and understanding, which goes through for, well, there's 12 different criteria in under that says these are all the things that should be in place. And we've said full compliance and we've referred back to this Sipler, Barnett, Waddingham knowledge and skills framework. I just feel slightly less than confident at the moment that we are as fully compliant as we potentially could be.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would be really helpful to have... I mean, you've seen in my comments that the thoughts that I've had, and I have to admit I've left quite a lot of it blank on that bit. But if you could have a think about how we comply with that, because I think that is something that I can't necessarily write a compliance statement on. Some of the others, the rest of the information, is fairly generic to a governance framework. which I can update, but in terms of board members' knowledge and understanding, it's really up to you. If you could do something and come up with some statements on that. And then I think really the other point, and unless you've had a chance to look through my statements and comment on them and update them, I would suggest that we set a time by which you come back to me with your comments, questions, statements or whatever, so that I can then update this again in terms of then recirculating it and then ultimately getting a recommendation from the board effectively that we have reviewed the governance compliance statement and we feel that this is a fair reflection of the governance framework, which then we can take to pension fund committee and then pension fund committee can adopt it or not, as the case may be, for publication in the pension fund's annual report and accounts.
So I think the thing is, if we arrange a date to meet, and then we'll come back to you with a date when we have looked at it by.
And you know, these are my thoughts based on me sitting down on my quiet desk. So I'm not necessarily wedded to them.
There's a couple of places where a plan and a record is treated as the same thing, but they're different.
Yep.
And they're saying we need a plan and we're evidencing that we've already come back because we have a record.
Yeah. And I think we were in a position when we had to do this that I think one of the key things that we need to do, I think we mentioned previously, was around in the guide about a training plan and a training sort of a policy strategy for knowledge and compliance, knowledge and skills compliance, which is board and committee focused. So we can have one of those and we can do a training programme, and to an extent in the work plan we've got training programme items for workshops, etc. But actually then the members, pension board members' requirement is far more onerous than something that I can put together. So I think if we can, with the policy that says this is what we're going to do, and then you have the record of what we've actually done, then we are fitting both together.
When does this have to be submitted?
Well, the pension committee is the 14th of June that I would be looking to take an initial version to, or alternatively the 13th of July. So I'm thinking of dates. So the 13th of July would be when we will present the draft annual report to the pension fund committee. So ideally I'd like to include the governance compliance statement in that. So by the end of June is absolutely when I need the drop dead bit. If we're going to take anything to a draft to the pension fund committee, I'd like to do that on the 14th of June, which would mean by the end of May that I'd need something.
Okay.
So
July, not June.
July, we're taking the annual report to,
right.
Yeah.
No,
July. I'm thinking June. I was thinking whether we wanted to get the compliance statement reviewed by the pension fund committee before they effectively adopt it.
Because suggestions and
It has to be, because the annual report will need to be reviewed by the pension board in the meeting before it's presented to the committee, won't it?
This is the difficulty that we have at the moment because of this new requirement that the annual report is reviewed by the pension board before it's published. The annual report doesn't have to be published until the 1st of December, but the audit of the council's accounts, which includes the pension fund accounts which are in the annual report, has to be concluded by the end of July. So what we've historically done is we've published the annual report as soon as the audit is concluded, because the annual report is effectively the financial statements with a bit at the front and a bit at the back that generally have already been looked at, like the governance policy and the various other bits and pieces. So we've done that and we've published on the 31st of July effectively. So we're 5 months ahead of schedule, four months ahead of schedule. But we do have, we could do, that we take the annual report and accounts to the 13th of July committee meeting, because they will still be subject to audit at that point, because the audit won't be concluded until the end of July. So we say that the annual report and accounts are approved subject to completion of the audit and review by the pension board. And then we review the review them in the September-ish, whenever it is, committed board meeting. So we just don't. So, or we do. I mean, this is the trouble, because the committee calendar was set before we knew that there was this requirement.
Okay.
So we might need to fudge a little bit in sort of summer.
Yeah. We can still do the review in November.
We can still do
the end of November.
Yeah.
So we're still published before the 1st of December.
Because by that point, I mean, the auditors look at the annual report and say it is consistent with, and they will check that it's subject to requirements. So effectively, that 19th of November board meeting could be the review of the annual report and accounts, because we'll have had some training. A little bit of what Gerard's going to talk to us about in June will be the review of the annual report and accounts, so then it'll give you time to consider and ask more questions on the guidance, for example, before we actually come to do the review. So I think that might be the plan. But in terms of the deadline for the annual compliance statement, which is where we came to, I think we're probably talking, we need to be publishing a version for the 14th of June committee, which means I need it by the end of May.
Okay. Right. Well,
which is about right?
Yeah. In May.
Yeah, because then I've got a chance to toss it up and get it to
Cover and then I can publish.
Okay, so is that okay? Brilliant.
I've got just a question on just one of the things. It's more just to find out when something was going to be done. So on E3, it talks about adoption of a detailed budgeting and accounting structure as a priority.
No.
Yes.
You mention the date.
No, no, it doesn't. You're absolutely right. and let's move on. It's
after I produce the annual accounts, that would be next on my priority list.
Okay.
The budget. I have mentioned it to John a couple of occasions, but we did.
We look at each other and go, oh my God, we haven't done it yet. But we are, it's on the list. We're also, just to update you, we're just in the process, I know it'll come in one of the other things, we're just in the process of putting advert out for a technical finance accountancy, senior accountant, whatever it is, which will be the sort of level below Joe, to free Joe up from doing the doing, to be doing more of the reporting. Which then might mean I can give some more of my doing down to Joe a little bit, and we can sped that up, so we'll have a little bit more of extra resource, because at the moment it's literally half of Joe and three quarters of me that does pension accounting and governance and stuff, so that's why things aren't running quite as quickly as we'd hoped.
Is there systems in place, or plans for systems in place for granular reporting on?
Yeah, well, we can do that.
Yeah.
It's just what we haven't got is the capacity to necessarily do it. But we will be able to do, I don't know if you see the budget reports that they do for service areas within the council.
Yeah,
so that's the sort of thing that we can do.
Because the annual report just has a one liner.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's weird, it's just like a cost centre report with this is what I've spent.
That be available for this past year.
We will do it as part. We'll have it as part of the reports that go to full audit. But yeah, we can. We'll try trial balance. Won't necessarily have report against budget, but we'll be able to show granular expenditure.
Yeah. You haven't done that in the past.
We've always had it.
We
just haven't reported it.
Well, I did ask for information on it, and so that you didn't have it, but you referred me to the annual report, just that single figure.
In terms of cost transparency, are you talking?
Yeah.
We never had that because we never had to have it. The cost transparency stuff, in terms of granular management fees for investment consultants, has never been a statutory requirement before.
Not just management consultants, but for the whole charges, everything that the pension.
I think in that case it's quite possible that I misunderstood what you were asking for, Barbara. But there has always been, we have always run an accounting system for the pension fund that has line by line, general ledger account by account.
Just would be good, I think, probably to see the past year, wouldn't it, so we know what it will look like the following year.
So when we come to the 18th of June pension board meeting, we will present you with a trial balance or something that shows you.
It'd be an annual management account, basically.
Yeah.
Management
account.
I mean, is it easy to send around, say, the last two so that we can look at it, see what they are?
Not really easy to do, but we can. Can I just bear in mind that we are in year end?
Yeah.
We have the auditors coming in on the 13th of May. So we will have that information, but we won't necessarily have it in a format that we can send it through to you. We will do our absolute best to get you something. And at the very least, we will have something ready for discussion at the 18th of June meeting.
Mm-hmm. Just gives us a chance to look at it.
Absolutely. Fine. Completely fine. Understand that. And just we are restricted resources. Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else on that governance compliance statement?
I don't think there was anything else that I wanted to draw attention to. I think the key issue was around the knowledge and understanding. And then obviously, whatever you thought about my comments and suggestions, really. But we'll do that, so you'll come back to me by the end of May at the latest.
Yes, we'll get together. And
I mean, if there is other things that you want to give me beforehand, you know, then we can.
I don't know any other particular comments. But I'll go back through.
Okay.
So I think we're on to point six